Okay, so here we are at the end of March. I wonder if you've started to think ahead already to Christmas this coming year and what you'd like for Christmas. I've got a survey for you from America, which is talking about the most wanted Christmas gift, and I've had to go for data to America and I've had to go back to 2019, but here you go. The most wanted gift for Christmas in 2019 was gift cards. Okay, 60% of gifts given, 60% of the gifts wanted were for gift cards, clothing, books, electronics. Everything else comes second to that. Gift cards was the most wanted thing, and that was for the 13th straight year. So we're pretty consistent in what we would like to have for Christmas. 60% of people saying gift cards. You know how that works. You get the gift card, it gives you a certain value, and then you have to take it to the store to realize that value to buy something. But what happens when gift cards are redeemed? Graphic here that shows you 73% of gift cards are used within 6 months. And if they're not used within a year, the chances of them actually being used reduces quite significantly. So in the end, it's reckoned that 6% of gift cards are never even used. Okay, they've got the value, but they're never cashed in. I want you to think about that as we do our reading for this week. And our reading is from Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. And it goes like this, starting verse 1. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we are also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then you are an heir, then you are an heir through God. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you that you speak to us through your word, and I pray for each person listening to this that they would sense you by your Holy Spirit speaking into their heart and making these words practical for us. Take away that which would hinder us from hearing what you say. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, last week at the end of chapter 3, John was speaking to us about adoption, so I thought it's a good time for me to show you a family picture. This is one from quite some years ago now, but my family. And you may notice that there's a difference between the appearance of Julie and I and our two daughters, Hannah and Emma, because they are both daughters by adoption. And I spent some time searching through all our photos, which are all boxed up at the moment, but searching through our photos to find the times when the adoption documents were done. Hannah, our older girl, was born in China, and her adoption certificate was actually done in China, and she had to put a footprint on the document, and we have a nice picture of that somewhere. Emma, our younger daughter, was born in Japan, and she got adopted in Japan, and then she had to be adopted again under UK law in this country. So we have a picture of her with a judge at the court when she gets the official adoption order that makes her part of our family. So what does that mean? Well, for my family, what do my daughters get by being adopted? They get recognised as my, or Julie and I, as our daughters. They get equal status with other sons and daughters. Well, actually, we don't have other sons and daughters, but they are both equal. They are our daughters. they get a promise of our care and our affection. They get a home and their physical needs met. Perhaps in the future, if we have it to give, they might inherit a house from us, or any money we have, or any debt we have. Who knows, all these things could come their way, but they get an inheritance from us. What is ours will become what is theirs. They also get an association with our reputation. And you may remember in the table talk questions, I challenged you to think about the experience of some of the postmasters and having their convictions quashed. Well, think of how that changed the reputation around the whole family and the association that people make with the name of those families when the conviction is quashed. So by adoption, you come into a family, the reputation of that family also comes to you. And Galatians 4, chapter 1, the verses we're looking at, right at the beginning there, it says, as heirs, they are the owners of everything. So that's my family by adoption, and that's the things that they get. So what John mentioned to us as it comes in at the end of Galatians chapter 3 is that we are adopted as God's sons. Let's look at that topic of adoption just very briefly in other scriptures. You've got Ephesians 1 verse 5, which talks about us being predestined for adoption. God chose us for adoption into his family. And it also talks about us having equal status with other sons and daughters. And the verses on that, I think, are worth us just taking a moment to look at, because that's quite a current topic as well. So let's look from Job 34, verse 19. It says of God, he doesn't care how great a person may be, and he pays no more attention to the rich than to the poor. Why? Because he made them all. Or looking at Acts 10:34, so Peter opened his mouth and said of God, truly I understand that God shows no partiality, no favoritism. Or another one from Galatians 3:28, so that's one that we've not long looked at. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male and female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. We all have the same value, the same inheritance, coming to us the same status. What else do we learn? Well, in the verses that we read, Ephesians 4, in verses 3 and 7, it says, we were slaves. What kind of slaves? We were slaves to the world, and we were slaves to the law. Slaves to the law, because no matter what we did to try and win God's favour by keeping the law, we couldn't do it. So then we were under the law, we were slaves to the law, because we could never achieve what was needed for the law to set us free. And when it says slaves to the world, there are different nuances on how we translate that word, spirits or spirit of the world, culture. There's lots of ways we can look at it, but all of the things that enslave us, that we set ourselves out to achieve but we never make it, so they own us, they condemn us, they stop us from being able to achieve something. We were slaves. So what is a slave? Well, going from the Wikipedia definition, slavery and enslavement are both the state and the condition of being a slave, who is someone forbidden to quit their service for another person whilst treated as property. So that's a definition. When we think of slavery, and this is a little bit of an aside, but I think well worth us doing, we tend to immediately think of people like William Wilberforce, who lived a couple of centuries ago, 1759 to 1833, and he spent most of his life working to see slavery abolished. If you want to read about him, there's a good number of books and so on around. One of those that I found most insightful was actually written by William Hague, who I can't see any evidence is writing from a faith background, but actually his book on Wilberforce is brilliant, and it made me think, wow, the influence that must have been in William Hague's life in researching it. But William Wilberforce, an amazing person. He worked with other quite amazing people as he prayed, as he sought, as he made it his life's purpose to see, among other things, slavery got rid of. So that's a couple of hundred years ago of history. To treat people as slaves, we see them, and think about this when you think of slavery going on, to treat people as slaves, we see them as less valuable than us. Actually, many times, we see them as less human than us. And if you think back a couple of hundred years ago, we have slave trade ships taking people from Africa over to America, to Europe, and somehow, because people from those cultures, from those countries, were not seen as of the same status, sometimes not even seen as properly human, that allowed people to mistreat them, it allowed people to put them into this state of slavery. And we often justify what we do to people when we mistreat them, when we think of them as somehow less than us. So that's history. But slavery is not only a problem of the past. In 2019, approximately 40 million people, of whom 26% were children, were enslaved throughout the world, despite it being illegal. So if you think slavery was just something of the past, there are 40 million people, 10 million plus of those people being children, who are currently enslaved in this world, which is more than any stage in history before now. One of the Christian missions that is working to do something about that is called IJM, International Justice Mission, and they are quite an amazing group when you look at the testimony of some of the leaders and of what they do as an organization. They're a group that have impressed me, but they are working to make slavery something that no longer exists in our world, and they do that by pursuing justice, they do that by doing rescues. Quite an amazing charity. Imagine a situation where they intervene to rescue somebody who has been in slavery, and having rescued them, having freed that person from slavery, the person chooses to go back to that situation, wanting to continue to live as a slave. Something that's hard to imagine. Why, having been freed from slavery, would anybody want to go back to that kind of existence? Perhaps they might be driven back because they think they still have debt to pay. Well, their debt's been paid, they've been set free. If you've been set free, if the obligations have all gone, why would anybody want to go back to that slavery? Maybe just to go back to something familiar. And we might very quickly say, well, they need help, they need counselling or something. And maybe all of those things are true. It's a big transition. But just think again of the shock. They have been freed from slavery, but they go back to it. As Christians, as Christ's ones, that's where the term Christians comes from, as adopted children, we are no longer slaves. We are heirs. In the early part of Galatians, Paul has emphasized that there is only one gospel. There's only one way to get right with God. And people kept trying to add extra bits on. They tried to preach a different gospel. They tried to make the gospel different for different people. And Paul says again and again, there is only one gospel. There is only one way to get right with God. Why do I have to say it to you again and again? Paul goes on. There is only one gospel. Don't escape from this. There is one gospel. There is one way to get right with God. And this has been his theme. He's appealed it again and again as he's gone through this early part of Galatians. So what happens now? Well, now Paul talks about a new way of living. He talks about living as heirs, not slaves. Living as heirs, not slaves. And I think you will find that he goes on to preach this theme with the same kind of passion as he has been preaching that there is only one gospel. We are to live as heirs, not as slaves. So I want to pray for you, and then I want to look at a couple of bits of application, and then to leave you with some things to help you reflect on this. Father, I thank you that as we are saved by that one gospel, as we come back into a right relationship with you by that one gospel, that our identity is in you. That the guilt for our sins has been dealt with, it's gone, that the shame has gone. That now we reflect not our failure, but your glory. Now as your heirs, we have your family reputation. We have come into a new freedom. Father, I pray that you would help each one of us when we might feel that we are in such a strange world, when we might feel that it's hard for us to come away from the past, that you would help us practically, that we might be able to live as heirs, not as slaves, that we might be able to live in freedom, not under condemnation, not in slavery. We pray that you would help us in this. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we mentioned gift cards at the beginning. Are we willing to live as heirs, or are we still living as slaves? That's the theme of my application questions. So just as IJM helps people out of slavery, perhaps you need help escaping from something that is owning you, because God has given you the gift of being an heir, not being a slave. But what's holding you back? Are there things in your life that are still owning you, that are stopping you moving into the freedom that God has given you? The first step is entrusting Him for all of those things to come to you. But then there are things that hang on. Maybe the way you use money. Maybe different items of dependency. Maybe alcohol. Maybe habits. Areas where you are struggling to let go. Maybe you've trusted God for what's happened in the past, but you're not yet ready to trust Him to pray for His guidance as to what you do with your future. In those ways, you are still trapped. Those things are still owning you. And perhaps you need help. You need to talk to somebody and to pray through how you might move into freedom in those areas so that they are not owning you, no longer a slave. Are we actively helping free others from slavery? The first way we do that is by wanting the gospel to go out to others so that those who don't yet know the freedom that comes from Christ, the freedom that comes from knowing that your sins are forgiven, the freedom that comes from knowing that you can overcome the things that own you, are we actively going about giving that good news to other people? That's a challenge for each one of us. And then around that topic too, are we actively seeking, as groups like IJM do, to overcome situations where people are currently being enslaved, where humans are being owned by other people, where humans are being controlled by other people? Are we actively working to free others from slavery?
The word gospel translates to news that brings joy. But this isn't just any news. A gospel is news that changes a life forever. After being invaded and enslaved by Persia, Greece won two decisive battles at Marathon and Solnus. The Greeks sent out heralds, also called evangelists, to proclaim the good news to the cities. We have fought for you. We have won. And now you're no longer slaves. You're free. The reality is that we are all slaves, slaves to sin and slaves to death. We are slaves in need of good news. Enter Jesus, God's Son, fully God, fully man, bringing news that would change our lives forever. His news was this: I am the divine, come to you to do what you could not do for yourself. I will take what you deserve so you can have what I deserve. You have no idea how much it will cost me, but you also cannot imagine the depths of my love for you. It is a gift that I give freely. So repent. Repent from all the ways you've run from me and follow me. Follow me because I am the only way to eternal life. Follow me because I'm the Savior you've been looking for. Follow me because I have authority over everything, yet I have humbled myself for you. Follow me because I died on a cross for you, because I'm your true love and your true life. This is my good news for you. This is my gospel, that you have been saved by grace and that you are slaves no more.